Jock Phillips, I'm a historian and a native of Christchurch, and I wrote a book on the war memorials of New Zealand. I had done a lot of research on the First World War and was really shocked by both the level of loss and the level of suffering which that war produced. I was interested in war memorials as an expression of local grief, but I was also interested in how did New Zealanders draw on local talent, architects, sculptors, to express that grief in creative ways. There was a architectural competition in 1921 that was won by the Auckland firm of Prowse and Gummer, but the leading light in that firm was William Gummer, who was a returned soldier and was passionate about memorialising the First World War. He'd been during the First War in Egypt and looked at classical buildings and memorials and so forth. So he came back with a head full of, you know, classical icons. What people wanted to express was a sense that this was a huge sacrifice and that it gave New Zealand a sense that they had made a contribution in war that was equivalent to what you would have seen in London or Paris or other European capitals. So what they looked for here was an arch which expressed, you know, the arch of victory, but also something that evoked the sort of Christian spirit. And the Bridge of Remembrance, if you look at it, is a cross-section of a cathedral, with the central arch being the nave and the two aisles on either side. So it was designed to be uplifting, heroic, in the spirit of European classical sculpture, and give people a sense that their soldiers, their men, had not died and had not suffered and been injured for nothing. They had achieved great things. There's only three First World War memorials which are bridges. So the bridge was quite an unusual idea. And this was the idea that as the sun moves every day from the east to the west, from birth to death, so this memorial expresses the passing of life. And right in the centre is a cross, obviously with Christian symbolism, but the essence of the cross was that a cross represents sacrifice. You know, Christ had died for other people. So our soldiers had died for the communities. On either side, you see lions, and lion, of course, was the great symbol of the British Empire. The lion is there with lances of victory, and the lion is pouring down with his feet on a German helmet. So it was a celebration of victory as well as a sense of loss. This is a symbol of Great Britain beneath the lion, and on the other side is the coat of arms of Canterbury. On either side of these main pylons, you see the names of places where the New Zealanders had fought during the First World War. And after the Second World War, the sites where New Zealand soldiers had fought during the Second World War have been added in new panels. Beneath the names of the places, you see a torch of remembrance with a flame, the idea that the flame burns continuously and so people are reminded continuously of the memory. And you will find, if you go back up to the arch, you'll see there's the symbol of leaves. Those are rosemary leaves, and rosemary was the classical symbol of remembrance. And underneath the pedestrian arches, indeed, there's another image of a rosemary, and it says, "There's rosemary, that's for remembrance." Halfway up the pylons, you will see there have been two bronze faces. These have been added after the Second World War, and they refer to two Canterbury men who received the Victoria Cross. This one, Sergeant John Hinton, and this one, of course, the famous Charles Upham, who not only received the Victoria Cross once, but actually received it twice. We'll now go to the left of the arch and have a look at the bridge. We're now on the eastern side of the River Avon, looking at the bridge. The bridge has got 8 laurel wreaths, which were the classic symbol of victory. And in the centre of the bridge is a Latin inscription, Quid non pro patria, which means, what would a man not do for the sake of his country? Beneath that, once more, we see the leaves of remembrance, the rosemary leaves, and in the middle, the bound reeds or fasces, the great classical symbol of unity, the idea that when individuals come together is strength. Now, in 1921, that was an heroic sentiment. Of course, within 20 years, the fasces became the great symbol of the fascists. So it's interesting that the symbol of fascism is on the Christchurch War Memorial. We were a colonial society and we were aspiring to recognition in the old world culture. So there's very little New Zealand content in war memorials in New Zealand. In fact, I found that the word Britain and British Empire is more commonly found on New Zealand war memorials than the word New Zealand. Over 100,000 New Zealand men went off to the First World War in a population of about 1 million. And of those, 18,000 of them died and 50,000 of them were injured. So the costs were horrendous. And I think the scale of the memorial may give people some sense of the scale of the loss. I can remember after the Christchurch earthquake, the Bridge of Remembrance became a place where people laid down wreaths and poems and so forth. It did work as a focus for collective memory, which is what you hope a memorial should do. A memorial, after all, is an inspiration to memory.